reading to you from James, the first chapter and the 27th verse. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been doing it ever since. Well, folks, I reported to you last week that we had 2 and 3 foot of snow here, but there's hardly any snow on the ground. It's beautiful outside. The sun is shining. Birds are singing. But, oh, we got lots of more snow coming, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised where these tapes go that there'll be snow there, too. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. I just wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and with the 14th verse. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then I'm turning down to the 3rd chapter and 4th verse. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Well, this is a sermon for everyone, the lost, the Christian. But some sermons we preach are just to convert the lost. And some sermons are to feed or correct believers. But this one is for you. Three kinds of people. Well, let's read the 14th verse again. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And then there's the spiritual man, and I read in the 15th verse, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And then there's the carnal man. And the third chapter, first verse, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. Well, friends, listen, what are these people representing? Well, look at, first of all, as we said before, and we'll get right back to it, the natural man. Now, in 14th verse, it says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things which come from the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to them, and he can understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, you know, when I was overseas, I remember it was Easter Sunday morning. There was 1,500 ships in this one flotilla. There was cruisers, there was flat tops, there was battle wagons, tin cans, and a whole raft of APAs. That's what I was on, attack troop transports, and APAs, and cargo ships. And we opened fire on the island of Okinawa, Naha Airport. Well, we started dropping our troops off, our Marines, bless their hearts. Oh, I love those Marines. Say, sailors don't love Marines. That's not true. Well, anyway, And I mean all hell broke loose. I never saw so many. It was everything. I was scared to death. I think I was 20 years old, if I remember correctly. And I had a little Bible that they gave me in boot camp. And I think the Gideons put it out. But anyway, I fell on my knees and I started trying to read something in that book that would guarantee me I was going to be all right. I prayed. I asked the Lord to protect us. I asked the Lord to keep us from being killed. And did you know what, dear friends? I was carnal. I didn't know the Lord. So the spiritual man does not receive the things of God because he's not spiritually discerned. Well, Paul's message and method. His message was Christ and him crucified. And we read the second verse here. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that was his message. Well, his message was preaching in the power of God. And I read here it says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. My dear friends, he wanted to reach the natural man because the natural man has not been born again. And he can't understand spiritual things, and they're foolishness to him. Listen, the Bible is a dark book to the natural man, and I can attest to that because there I was in Okinawa reading, and I couldn't understand one thing. I couldn't even understand John 3:16. Now, what is there not to get you understand about that? The destiny of the natural man is destruction. Now, the need of the natural man is salvation. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, everybody in this world has sinned. Now, you take a little baby. You know, they take little babies and they pour water on their heads. A little baby don't understand the things of God. But till he gets old enough, he doesn't understand. Well, the natural man's old enough, but he don't understand. Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit teaches the spiritual man. And I read here in the 11th verse, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Well, then we go on, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Well, let me tell you what, friends. It tells me here in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me, we will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not drive away. Oh, I love that. You say, Cecil, you don't know what a wretched sinner I am. Well, it doesn't make any difference. God does. Now, my dear friends, listen. God can forgive all sins through Jesus Christ, his Son, who came to become sin, yet he was sinless to die for you and me. That's the only way you're ever going to get into heaven, is your sins have to be washed in the blood. That's the only way. You'll not circumvent Jesus and get to the Father. It just isn't going to happen. All lost people must be saved. Now, what did he say there? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Now, you said you killed a man. All right, I'm sorry you did. You killed a man. If you're sorry, and you're willing to repent, turn your back on the old way of life, and ask Jesus to come in your heart, He'll forgive you. He'll write your name in the Lamb book and give you eternal life. You say, I don't believe it. Well, did you ever read the story of Saul of Tarsus, the man that we call Paul now? That guy was he was bad. He was evil. He went about to destroy the church and every Christian. He thought that was his mission in life. That's what God did it. Wanted him to do. But he did it, he said, in total ignorance. And God knocked him off in his old feet, put him on his knees, and saved that guy on the road to Damascus. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's the question. Have you done that yet? Have you been convicted by God's Holy Spirit that you're a sinner? Well, now the Bible said we've all sinned, doesn't it? So, that means you, that means me. Well, now, let's look at the spiritual man. The spiritual man, 15th verse, the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. The spiritual man was once a natural man. Salvation through faith in Christ transformed him. He was changed. Once doomed, now delivered. That was Cecil Moe. That's where I was. The morning I called that preacher out of bed at 3 a.m., I told him I was going to commit suicide. I told him I was afraid to die. And I want you to know, dear friends, he assured me that I should not commit suicide, and he wanted me to come over to his place. And there is where I heard the greatest love story that I ever heard in my life. I said, "Preacher, God does not love alcoholics." He said, "You're wrong, son." And then he quoted me John 3:16, "For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that morning, the Holy Spirit of God drew my heart like a magnet. And I fell on my knees and I cried out. I said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I really repented. You know what? That morning, he delivered me from the curse of alcoholism. So if you have an alcoholic loved one or a friend, oh, friend, tell him what Jesus did for me. Tell him what he did for you. You don't have to be an alcoholic to find Christ. No, you don't. Well, once lost, the spiritual man, now he's found. Once bound for hell, now he's bound for heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit teaches the spiritual man, verse 11. It says here, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand that God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." Well, you see, the spiritual man discerns, he understands all things. See, God at work in the world. We see God at work in his or her life. Now, he is not understood by others. Oh, my stars. Let me tell you, after I accepted Jesus Christ, I was known as a town drunk. Mo the Mad Roofer, they called me. Everybody in that town within 2 days knew that something happened to Cecil Mo. No longer does Cecil frequent the bars. Now he's going to church. Oh, and they didn't like me. Do you think I didn't witness to my old buddies, the drinking buddies? I sure did. I didn't preach at them. I told them they need to put their trust in Jesus if they plan on going to heaven. And made them mad. They even let air out of my tires. They did awful things to me. But I kept loving them just the same. And I led some of those people to Christ, I want you to know. Now here's a warning from Jesus, found in 15th chapter John. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spake unto you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. Boy, oh boy. Now, here's what Peter said. Found in 1 Peter 4 chapter. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I got to tell you something. I was in the hospital with a heart attack. I was on the sixth floor down at the hospital. Well, one night about midnight, I couldn't sleep at all, and I was watching a boob tube. All of a sudden, I heard people running and down the hall. Well, now I thought, boy, someone's really in bad shape. Someone's having another heart attack. They came right into my room. They grabbed my arm. They started shooting things in me. My heart was almost doing 200. Woo! Man, I was one sick dude. You know what? I said, this is a good time to witness. So I started sharing Christ with the doctors and the nurses. And every time I went to the hospital, they know where I stood. And when that Bible's on my table, they knew this guy's different. Oh, friends, listen. You don't have to be a preacher to be a witness for Christ. If you're born again, we are commanded to go into the highways and the byways and to compel them in. We're commanded to be a witness. Be personal evangelists. Oh, friends, listen. Do you know what I usually do? When I'm talking to someone, I say, do you know, it's amazing. But 54 years ago, I was walking the streets of Skid Row in Portland, Oregon, 3rd and Burnside. I said I was drinking booze and I was in bad shape. And I said, you know, and they said, well, what happened? I said, well, I called a preacher out of bed one morning and told him that I was going to take my life because I'd lost my wife and kids. And he sat there and he told me the greatest love story ever told. Well, they said, what was the story? You don't have to pump me along and I'll tell you what the story is about. And they'll say, you know, that's wonderful. Oh, you ought to have been with us the other night at the prison when there was, what was it, 30 or some men and women accepted Jesus. I wish you could have saw the tears in those girls' eyes as my wife and I revealed to them the life that we went through. They saw the movie. They couldn't believe it. And they said, did that really happen to my wife? I said, it does. You see, it really works when I take my wife into the Ben's prison because she'll tell them. Now, the reason that I know this is true because we experienced it. We had the heart. I went with my husband, not in the bars. Didn't do that. But I put up with his lies and missing work and not paying his bills and all everything that an alcoholic is guilty of. And someone, the girl, said, well, why did you stay with him? She said, because I loved him. Well, now, I would say this, friends, and if you're an alcoholic's wife, and your husband beats you, knocks you down, hurts you, beats your children, you have no business staying there. Under no condition stay there. Move out. Get your family and move. I never abused my wife physically, but I did verbally. I said cutting things to her that only her and God could ever forgive me for. Terrible things I used to say. I can't believe I did it. Oh, I hate booze. I hate bars. I hate Coors beer and all those beer manufacturers. I hate them because they nearly destroyed my life. No, I nearly destroyed my life because I used their product. I tried to cover up my heartaches with booze, and it don't work. You say, Mo, I lost my wife. I've lost my job. I did all that, too. I lost my business. But God loves you, and he wants more than anything in the world for you to get on your knees tonight and ask him to forgive you and to save you. Your Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know what he is, friend. He's standing with outstretched arms right now, and he's saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he promised he would do, is give you rest. Now, let's talk about the carnal man. And I read in verse 3, the first four verses. Brethren, I could not address you as spiritual, but worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Well, the carnal man is completely confused. Now, the natural man lives, but just for the moment. Ah, but the spiritual man lays up treasures in heaven. The carnal man tries looking both ways. Contradictions of the carnal man. He knows what is right, but he doesn't do it. He knows the world is lost, but he clings to it. He is like Lot lingering in Sodom. The carnal man needs full commitment to Christ. I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Which one of these people are you? Are you carnal? Are you spiritual? Or are you the natural man? Now, there's three people we presented here tonight. Now, you know what you are. You sure do. Well, I want you to know, whichever man you are, Christ will meet you just where you are. He'll make you the spiritual person you ought to be. But, beloved, it's your move. It's your move. You're the one that has to say, well, I want a different life. Well, he's the only one that can give it to you, dear friends. Now you say, Cecil, look, I honestly don't know what to do. I'm one of those three, I know. Well, the Bible says, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. If you don't know that you've passed from death unto life, you're lost. You're doomed and damned and on the road to hell. But God said, I don't want any man to perish, but they're all to come in repentance. Are you ready tonight? Is your heart kind of hurting? Do you feel a little tugging at your old heart tonight and saying, oh, Cecil, I think I'm going to cry. Go ahead and cry. Tears are bottled in heaven. Yes, they are. They sure are. Well, listen, if you'd like to trust Christ tonight and you feel that tug, would you like to bow here with me right now? And I'd like to lead you in the sinner's prayer. And here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And tonight, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air, and I'll sure not embarrass you. And I will not write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Don't put it off. This might be the last time in your life you ever get a call from heaven. The Bible said the Spirit of God will not always strive a man, for by a man must be saved. 303-471-8534. Friend, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope and trust and pray you saw something in the message tonight that helped you. Listen, if I can help you, call me. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll be more than happy to pray for you. Listen, if you have a prayer request and you want someone to pray for you, just drop me a line and I'll be more than happy to pray for you. Well, friends, I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I, and I pray for health. Oh, we had such a wonderful time showing a movie in prison. I know there's other prisons that want me to come, but I don't know if I'm able to do it anymore. It's pretty difficult to get around for both of us, but you pray that God will give us the health and the strength. That's what we live for. So until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.